Hello, I'm Ken DeLuke, and welcome to the Turning Point Podcast, the bi-weekly program that features interesting people from all walks of life, addresses the concerns and events from the movers and shakers in your community, and provides a forum for you, the listener, to ask questions and share what keeps you up at night. To ask a question, please leave a voicemail at 312-866-7174. That's 312-866-7174, or leave an email at theturningpointpodcast.com. That's theturningpointpodcast.com. Now, your host is Mohammed Fahim, a candidate for the United States U.S. House of Representatives. Mr. Fahim.
Thank you for the introduction, Ken. And if you could please introduce our guest for tonight.
Well, today's guests, I'm pleased to say, are shooting a movie in the area I grew up in, the southwest side of Chicago. This movie is a period piece set in the late 1990s, and I can't wait to see on the big screen a place I've known all my life. I have no doubt that it will be a great film, and it's my pleasure to introduce the producer, Kelly Boyan, the director, Michael Kaplan, and the writer, Joe Mino. And here's your host, Mohammed Fahim.
Thank you, Ken. And gentlemen and lady, welcome to the Turning Point Podcast. How are you all doing?
Very well. Thanks so much for having us. Really grateful to be here. So thank you.
Wonderful. Kelly is the producer of the show and of the, not the show, darn it, the movie. See, I keep on thinking show now because we're so used to shows and not movies. Kelly, what is this movie all about?
This is really a beautiful love story at its heart, a hopeful story. It's about a couple of 20-somethings in a neighborhood that, as Ken was saying, he's very familiar with, that a lot of the people on this call and doing this movie is familiar with, the South Side of Chicago. Uh-huh. And without giving away too much, it's really about they're coming from, you know, a place where hope is kind of lost, where mediocrity is kind of what we aspire to. And so this young woman and young man come together in circumstances where it's unlikely that they would be together. And when they do, they fall in love, but they have to make some tough choices about, okay, you know, how they're going to make this work. Again, in a neighborhood where it's, you know, set at a time period in the 90s where, you know, everybody's just kind of doing their thing, cruising their neighborhood, living in the city. And so I think that's the beauty of this, is because it really explores a simple relationship that we can all identify with, that we all knew someone or we lived it, you know, at that time mm-hmm. period in a neighborhood that we all are very familiar with. We are, but a lot of the rest of the country aren't, and certainly not Hollywood. So I think that's really the attraction to this story for everybody on this call, is at its heart, it's just full of hope and love and, you know, really the idea that anything's possible, even in a place where that doesn't seem to be the case.
Okay, so we got Michael Kaplan, who's the director of the movie, and Joe Mino, who is the writer. Michael, how did you get involved with the movie?
Well, thanks for having us, Mohammed. I love talking about this movie, this story, because it's just, it's really a passion for me to tell it. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Chicago. The name of the film is People Who Don't. Okay. Which is a kind of quirky wordplay, and that's something that Joe could talk about later on when he can join it, when he joins us. But it is, as Kelly said, it's set in Beverly. And this is the place where Joe Mino, who wrote it, grew up. And mm-hmm. so it very much, he's very much writing from his background, from his experience, and to a neighborhood that he really loves. He has a lot of affection for this neighborhood. And Joe and I know each other through our connection at Columbia College, where we both teach. I teach film and he teaches creative writing. Mm-hmm. And one day out of, really literally out of nowhere, he sent me this screenplay and said, I'm really trying to get this made. Is this something that you'd be interested in? Mm-hmm. So it really started that way, because I read it, and as soon as I read it, I said, yes, I want to do this. It's just got a warmth and a directness that you just do not see in most films that come out today in Hollywood.
I was looking at some of the notes that that I had before we started the podcast, and I've been in workforce and economic development also for a long time, and especially the south side of Chicago, where all the steel mills used to be. When you go over there now, it's like a ghost town. And I do see a lot of fallout from those things also. Is that something that is mentioned in the movie without giving away too much of the plot?
I would say it's I think the situation of the working class is something that's ever present in this movie. So you don't hear directly about the steel mills. Mm-hmm. Which is something, I grew up on the southeast side, which is the area you're talking about. This is southwest side, but it's really a similar feel. It's people who don't have a lot of choices. They don't see that they have a lot of choices in their life. And they're just trying to get to the next day, to the next week. They don't have huge plans for themselves because they don't believe that they have that ability to get something, to move on to the next step.
Kelly, I got a question for you. Why is it important to film this in Chicago? How does it impact the film business in the city? I know that coming from an Indian background, a lot of Bollywood movies are shot in Chicago also. I know that, right? But why in Chicago? Why did you guys decide to focus on Chicago? Because you're from here? Or, how is the city helping out?
Well, I think my fellow producer, Edward, would chime in on this. But I will say this. There's mm-hmm. simply no other place to shoot it. This kind of story needs to be shot authentically in a neighborhood because the neighborhood is a character in of itself. And also, even more importantly, this is a group of people on this team who are deeply committed to the Chicago film community. It's very important to us to hire our crew from Chicago, extras, vendors. As a producer, we put a lot of time and energy into building a crew that can really work together as a family and as a team. You know, when you're working 12 to 14 hour days, long days, for several weeks on set, it's crucial you're building an environment where everybody has the same goal. And in this case, it's super important for us to highlight Chicago as a place where there's no harder working people than the people of Chicago. And I can honestly say that as somebody who's born and raised there. Uh-huh. And yes, I was born in Zion, grew up in Mundelein, went to Columbia College, raised my first two kids in the city. So, I mean, for me, I have a deep love, but I also understand as somebody who also works in Hollywood that the people in Chicago are just hard workers. And I think this is a really interesting time in the film industry. And so we feel like this is the perfect opportunity to highlight the city of Chicago, state of Illinois, as a place with, you know, incredible opportunity to wonderful tax credit, wonderful locations, which I know Edward would, you know, he's the expert on this, but
let's bring Edward in. Edward, you've been pretty quiet all this time. And
that's unusual for me.
I know. That was, Kelly was giving you a clue now when she mentioned your name. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about you, Edward, and your involvement with this. And why you? Why this movie?
Sure. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it. I too went to Columbia College. I came to Chicago about 20 years ago from Philadelphia, and mm-hmm. I have been living and working in the film business in Chicago for almost the past 20 years. And, you know, I've seen it grow and develop and become this burgeoning production space. Kelly was alluding to the film tax incentive. In just the past 10 years, the city of Chicago, the talent pool that has grown here, that lives here, that works here, that is producing and working on all the film and television that we've been making these days, has really, you know, come into its own and, you know, approached and in some places surpassed the capabilities of the coast of LA and New York and even Atlanta. It's probably the fourth largest hub, production hub in the country, but it's probably the best production hub in the country because it's not so big that you just become a juggernaut. You know, all the other places have just, you know, quantity problems. We are able to make real stories, heartfelt stories about real people. And as a politician, you know that what happens in Chicago and what the Midwest is culturally is also what America is, what the United States is. We can tell a story, a Chicago story, a Midwest, you know, salt of the earth people, and that will resonate. That will speak to the entire country, and we'll be able to bring them in. So Chicago is just an amazing place that has so much talent, so much going on. It's very affordable to make film and television here these days. And what you get for that, bang for your buck, in a city and talent and crew is pretty top tier. So there wouldn't be any other place that I would have it filmed, especially since it's written for Chicago.
Okay, wonderful. I guess, you know, time flies. We have come to the end of our first segment. Let's take a quick break and come back on the other side of the break to talk about some of the challenges that you face and, you know, why the story needs to be told now by this group of filmmakers and all of those good things. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Okay, you're listening to the Turning Point Podcast. If you have a suggestion, a comment, please call us at 312-866-7174 or leave us a message on our website. We'll be right back after paying a couple of bills. You know, it's been said that life is too short to drink cheap wine. What a better gift than a nice bottle of wine. Now, I know what you're thinking. When I give a gift of that special wine and that special occasion where it's used arises, how will they remember it was from me? Bob the Wine Guy has the answer. Bob the Wine Guy specializes in corporate gifts, wine tasting fundraisers, 19th hole golf tournament gifts, and business referral gifts. He's been celebrating over 25 years of matching wonderful people to their exquisite wines and spirits. When you give the gift of wine, your name or your company's name will be personalized, get this, right on the bottle. So on that special occasion, that lucky recipient will know exactly who helped to make it special. Bob the Wine Guy can be reached at 217-415-0966. That's 217-415-0966. Or check out his website at www.pouritagainsam.com. Welcome back to the Turning Point Podcast. If you have a question or would like to make a comment, please call us at 312-866-7174. Our guest today is the producer of a brand new movie they're filming here, and we're going to talk more about that. Kelly Nguyen, Mike Kaplan, the director, and Joe Mino, the author of this screenplay. A quick question that I have, being a local guy, and I always like to see myself on the big screen if I can possibly sneak in there. Are you guys going to be looking for any extras or background actors to fill in the gaps when you actually do start production? And what is your sense on when that production may start?
Well, Michael and Edward can chime in after this, but our intention is to spend the bulk of the fall raising money, financing for the film, crew up, get our budgets in order, and then looking for the spring ideally, but obviously all of that is contingent upon a lot of different factors. Right. And in terms of casting, absolutely. I mean, we're so excited to bring this film to Chicago that there will be opportunities not only for crew and vendors and restaurants, but also extras. So we'll absolutely be certain to relay that information, and maybe you can put it in your show notes of how to contact us. Okay. But absolutely, we want to use all the Chicago connections as much as possible.
Hey, Kelly, Joe is not here yet, but maybe Michael can answer that. Michael, is there going to be a 7-Eleven featured in there? And do you need an Indian to play the role?
Well, it's 1999, so okay. I'm not sure if there's a 7-Eleven. But we're wide open, and we would definitely be looking for a wide variety of talents.
Mohammed, seriously, Dunkin' Donuts. You want a Dunkin' Donuts?
Well, no. I was thinking more of coming in as an Apu character. Okay, if you go back to The Simpsons, I do Apu pretty good. But jokes aside, now, let me ask you this: what is the film financing process? What needs to be done to come together to get a film into production, especially in Chicago? Where do you start? What is step one?
I don't know. Well, I'm looking at you, Edward.
Producer, that question is for you. Okay.
No, I make the joke because, listen, this is the part where if you talk to any producer, it's the part where if we all had the answers, all of our movies would be financed like that. We'd be in production exactly when we want to be. It's such an interesting process. And sometimes it's a very short process where all of a sudden, a friend of a friend knows someone. This happened on one of my last films. A friend was taking a walk with a friend. She happened to be a huge financier, loved the script, and wrote the check for the entire budget. We were in pre-production within a week. That never happens. Well, it does happen. It did then. Okay. But that's like the ideal world. But typically, it takes time of making connections, doing a number of investor parties, a lot of phone calls, a lot of outreach, who knows who. A lot of what we do as producers is we use our own connections. People excited about the story, because really when you're raising money for a film, it's a risky investment. Let's be honest. This is not something that is, we tell people we're going to make X amount of money. It's going to be sold to this streamer or this, outlet. We are very clear about the fact that when we're raising film financing, we really want people to be a part of the project who are passionate about storytelling, who maybe want to dip their toe in the world of Hollywood. A lot of times people are passionate about film and passionate about movies. And a lot of our investors, they know a lot about film and really just want to find some way to, be on set and be a part of that process and be supportive of the project and the people working on it. So a lot of our job as producers is to kind of rally the troops, and it's a jagged road. There's no straight road. Again, it could take a year, it could take 6 months, it could take 3 years. And I think Michael and Edward can speak to that too, but it's definitely not a straight linear process, but that's also kind of what makes it so exciting and fun. I mean, when you're actually in the pre-production and you have the funds to, launch everything and you're on set, there's nothing better. But I'm sure Michael and Edward have something to say about that too.
So Kelly, going back to your background, you said that you have made some other films. What are some of the films that you have been involved in as a producer?
So I worked on a film called Lazy Eye, which, how many years ago is that now? 6 years ago.
Okay.
And that was filmed in Joshua Tree. And again, it was a love story. And that was a great deal of fun. I learned a ton about on-set producing with that. I worked with Jeremy Renner's production company. We worked on an animated feature, his first animated feature. But with animation, as I've worked at Illumination Entertainment as well, which has done Despicable Me and the Minions, animation takes like 10 years to do and usually finds the film in development hell. So that's a wonderful script and a wonderful project that's kind of had to take a long road. And, it, you know, that's that. I've worked on a couple documentaries, the most recent Latter-day Jew, and the most recent one I did with The Grotto, which is doing incredibly well on the festival circuit. We're looking to sell it. It was written and directed by the Tony Award-winning Joanna Gleason, who I don't know if you're familiar with, but she's just iconic, incredible actress, and produced her film. And that was just such a joy because we really worked very hard to also have a diverse crew and cast, and really wanted, it was celebrating Joanna as this incredible director, writer, when she's so well known as a theatrical and film actress. So that's just kind of some of the things too that I've worked on. I haven't produced forever. I used to be a journalist in Chicago. I actually used to work at CBS, WBBM TV, intern MAQ. I interned under Joan Esposito. So funny. I think she still lives there.
Joan is actually doing a show on WCPT. Joan does a daily show.
Yes, I heard about that. I have, you know, and I also used to write cookbooks, and I have kids and raise a family. So this is kind of like my ninth career, but my favorite of all time.
Wonderful. So, Edward, we know all about Kelly now. What brings you to this whole effort, and what is your background in film?
My background is 20 years, close to 20 years of producing and managing what we will call indie, everything from indie cinema to big studio feature films, nuts and bolts logistics on the ground. I've done a bunch of indie films with David Morris and Corey Monteith, a film called Mechanic. But I've also done films like Transformers 3, 4, and worked with Oscar award-winning directors, actors, and such. So I'm really kind of your boots on the ground, get her done, you know, leading the charge to manage a large project like a film production. I was in Michael's film class in 2004 at Columbia College, and that's where I met him, and that's actually where I met Kirkland Tibbles, our other producer, who can't be with us today. And I have such fond memories of that, and Michael and I have just kept up over the years for close to 20 years now, and we've developed a relationship and a friendship, and he's mentored me. And I think it's so awesome how, you know, both Kelly and Kirkland and Joe, you know, everybody has known each other in so many ways for so long. And we've all gone out into the world. We've had our other projects. We've made a lot of serious Hollywood film and a lot of great independent film. And it's kind of come full circle. We get to now do it together. And, you know, feed off of each other's energy and all of that good stuff. So I just love making movies. And
Joe Mino has joined us just now. And Joe, welcome to the Turning Point podcast. We're waiting for you to show up.
Oh, thanks so much. It's such a pleasure. I really appreciate the time to be able to talk about this project.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So Joe, as a writer, did you come up with the idea, or was it someone else's idea? You just did the screenplay. What is your role in this entire effort now?
Oh, thanks for the question. I wish people came to me with amazing ideas and just said, sit down and write this. You know, most of my work as a writer is as a fiction writer and journalist. So I've been a cultural journalist for 20 years and written a number of novels, also a nonfiction book about the immigration process here in the United States. But this story, people who don't start off as something really personal, connected to my own family. I grew up on the south side of Chicago on 99th Street in Evergreen Park. Mm-hmm. And it's such a really complicated, compelling place. You know, I think everyone has that relationship to their hometown or their particular neighborhood. The thing that makes that part of Chicago so interesting to me is that it's part of the city, but it still somehow feels separate from it. And growing up in that neighborhood, we kind of internalize a lot of these ideas about being on the South Side and being working class and thinking like the North Side was this other country almost. And almost being strangers in the city that you live in. And there's something about that neighborhood also that's so supportive and like perennially optimistic that even though there's these difficult circumstances, people are always struggling to find something meaningful or hopeful, even in the most difficult circumstances. The story really started about 10 years ago. My wife and I went to Christmas, and my wife's nephew brought this girl he was dating, and they had just started dating, and she happened to be a couple months pregnant. And they had just started dating, so this young woman was pregnant with someone else's child, and I thought that was like incredibly fascinating. And this guy, I'll be honest, my nephew up until that point, he had had a number of different challenges. He kind of moved from job to job. He had left high school and hadn't gotten his degree. And he had really been searching, you know, for some sort of purpose or meaning or looking for something to kind of give him focus. And he started dating this young woman and they kind of made a go of it. He found that dating this young woman and her being pregnant forced him to take on kind of an adult role and responsibility. And suddenly it was almost like overnight, he became like a different person. And it was such a unique, interesting transformation that occurred. You know, as a storyteller, as a writer, the thing I'm most interested in is those moments that happen in our lives when we get the opportunity to change. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, after watching this couple become parents and the kind of trajectory of their lives as a couple, it just resonated with me so much. And it really touched me that I decided to try and tell it as a screenplay. There's also something about the immediacy of it and how this is not a story that, you know, involves hundreds of people and it doesn't take place over hundreds of years. It's a really small, quiet kind of story, and those are the stories that usually have the biggest effect on me. It's not like a character goes from being this kind of person to this completely opposite person. It's just by a few degrees, but those few degrees oftentimes make the most difference in our own lives.
So Joe, when as a writer, when you're sketching out characters, you see someone, do you take notes that maybe one day, you know, I'm going to use this guy called Ken DeLuca as a character in my next movie or something?
Yes. Exactly. We're trying to okay. get Ken. I think Ken would be an amazing asset, great addition. Well, first of all, he grew up in that neighborhood. And so there's something about that neighborhood you can't quite fake. You know, you can do the accent, but there's a certain attitude, there's a certain way you move through space, you relate to each other, that's really palpable. But I am, all the time as a writer, I love to hear other people tell their own stories. And so—
Hey, Joe, I want to thank you for saying that. You just, you know, melted my heart. But we do have to take a quick break, so keep that thought. We'll pick it up right after the break.
Perfect.
You're listening to the Turning Point Podcast. If you have a question or want to give us an idea, 312-866-7174. We'll be back in a moment. You know, it's been said that life is too short to drink cheap wine. What a better gift than a nice bottle of wine. Now, I know what you're thinking. When I give a gift of that special wine and that special occasion where it's used arises, how will they remember it was from me? Bob the Wine Guy has the answer. Bob the Wine Guy specializes in corporate gifts, wine tasting fundraisers, 19th hole golf tournament gifts, and business referral gifts. He's been celebrating over 25 years of matching wonderful people to their exquisite wines and spirits. When you give the gift of wine, your name or your company's name will be personalized, get this, right on the bottle. So on that special occasion, that lucky recipient will know exactly who helped to make it special. Bob the Wine Guy can be reached at 217-415-0966. That's 217-415-0966. Or check out his website at www.pouritagainsam.com. Welcome back to the Turning Point Podcast. Special guests today are the people who are making the movie based in Chicago, People Who Don't. We left off with Joe Mino, the writer of the particular movie coming up. And Joe, please pick up where you left off and how I'm a great guy to be part of that movie.
This is really just like a pyramid scheme, Ken, right? Like,
okay.
Joe, in order to get you on screen.
Quick question.
I just want to say, Mohammed, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to butt in here so that you don't sign Ken up for the next leading role in the movie. Okay.
I think he deserves his own role. But there's something, some of my favorite films are these films that are focused on characters, the intimate, complex relationships. There's this great film called Marty, but that stars Ernest Borgnine. It's one of my favorite films of all time. It takes place in Brooklyn. It's this kind of complicated love story about two people who you would never see in any kind of traditional love story. They're not like the most glamorous, attractive people. Marty's like a butcher, and this young woman he falls in love with, I think she's a telephone operator, and it's so small, and the nuances of these individual characters are so powerful. And that's really what inspired the kind of filmmaking that Michael and Edward, Callie, Jonathan, all of us are interested in, are the stories that have to do with the small challenges that we face kind of day to day, not on necessarily the scale of, a superhero movie or a robot movie, but that really are the challenges all of us kind of face. And so that yearning to tell a story about a part of Chicago that almost never gets discussed, not in books, not in film, not in television. That's really, really important to us. And so we're hopeful that there's a real excitement around these kinds of stories right now.
Okay, sounds good. Have you ever considered, writing a movie or a script on some real life stories? I got a place that you could probably feature sometime. It's called Mar-a-Lago or something like that. Ever heard of that place?
Oh my gosh. I think about this, Mahal. I'm like, what are those films or even books like 10 years from now?
There are swimming pools and changing rooms with all kinds of, important files and things in there. Yes, and there's some pretty decent characters there.
I think there's some amazing stories to be told about the cleaning staff at Mar-a-Lago.
Okay.
No one would believe it. That's the thing. No one would ever believe it. They just say that's satire. That's not real life.
Okay. So, Michael, if ever a movie like that is going to be made, would you want to direct something like that?
Absolutely. Wag the Dog is one of my favorite movies from the 90s. Yep, yep. I just recently rewatched it, and it is amazing how it still speaks to, our current state of politics and national identity.
Look, coming back to this movie now, People Who Don't. Who came up with the movie title, and what does it mean?
I did. I came up with the title. There's like this attitude, and maybe Ken can speak to that, like the people who live here in this neighborhood get it. And if you don't live here, you don't. So like the people who live here get it, the people who don't. And that sense of being so part of this one particular place, that it's its own universe, its own set of rules, and everyone outside of it is kind of existing in this other realm is kind of reflected.
Hey, Joe, I'd love to type in on this one. You are so right. When I went away to college, just be a quick story, coming from the southwest side of Chicago, everyone has a certain attitude, a certain sarcasm, a certain underlying understanding of how to communicate with each other, which is not anywhere indicative of anywhere else in the world. So going to a small college way away from Chicago, nobody, when I was trying to talk Chicagoan, people were taking me seriously, and you can't do that because it really hurt their feelings or something, right? So right. What you're saying is right on.
Well, I appreciate it.
Okay,
that.
So my question to you guys is, why would someone who does not know, you know, the niceties that you're talking about, why would I want to watch this movie? What is in it for me?
Well, let me start off trying to answer that as someone who wants to tell this story and see it up okay. on the screen, because it is universal. You know, I always tell my students that the more specific you get, the more universal you get. You know, people's families are similar, even when they come from completely different backgrounds, because it's not about, you know, what your ethnic background is. It's not about, you know, where in the city you live or if you even live in the city. It's about who these people are, how they relate to each other, and their basic humanity. People just trying to get a little bit further down the road, just move up just a little bit and have life just be a little bit easier, because life can be really freaking difficult. And when you tell a story about people that you can relate to, that their basic humanity is there and present on screen, then people get pulled in. It doesn't have to be something that they're, you know, familiar with. It could be someone in Senegal. It could be somebody, okay. you know, in Australia. It doesn't matter. It's, you're looking at their basic humanity. And what Joe has written reflects that. It just, it brings us into this world of these people that we've never seen before, but we know who they are.
Fascinating. Again, thank you all very much for coming on and talking about something that I was really not too familiar with. And but from a business point of view, that's where I come from. How difficult is it in today's world of multimedia to have a story come on a big screen? What are those challenges like? Where do you guys, how are you going to market this? In which media?
I'll take that. You know, yep. again, it's a complicated question only because every project is different. Mm-hmm. The time in the marketplace at the point when you are ready to sell is different. Mm-hmm. Again, to give an example of my last film, you know, we're trying to sell it in a time where there's a writer strike, and but also that's to our benefit. As I mentioned before, it's always been quite challenging to raise money for indie film in particular, because mm-hmm. really what you are trying to do is bring together a group of people to bring a story to life on the screen. And when you market it, you know, there's a million different ways that you could go about doing it. But what our job is as producers is to use our combined years of expertise and connections and just our integrity for the project to go to the right people that we know and fit all the pieces together. It's really quite the jigsaw puzzle for us.
I would think so. Yeah.
We have a plan and all of that goes out the window because of conditions in the marketplace might change that. So, you know, that's the fun part of it though. Like you just wake up every day and you don't quite know what you're going to get. So.
Right. And so, I mean, I hope you do agree with me, Kelly, that film producing is a very risky business, but again, it could be deeply rewarding also, you know, for those who are outside of Hollywood to get involved. And if someone wants to step up and learn more about what you guys are all about, how do they do it?
We will give you our contact information, either contact myself or Kirkland Tibbles or Melody Baroni, our other producing partners who could not be with us tonight. And we love to talk about our film. So we're happy to talk to whoever and just kind of give the, you know, the points of what we're doing here. But really, it's about, you know, us just trying to get this story out here right now. So anybody who has any questions for me, I'm happy to answer them, or my partners, any one of us can answer them as well.
Well, I guess on that note, thank you very much for finding the time to come on at short notice. And Ken, thank you for bringing the entire group together on this. Edward, what keeps you up at night? That's a question I like to ask. And I'm not going to ask everyone, but you've been silent. What keeps you up at night? What's the main concern that you have about this movie?
Nothing about this movie keeps me up in a bad way. I'm very hopeful. I think that this, if I'm going to sit up at night and ponder something, I'm going to ponder how we have managed to bring together an amazing team, such talent from so many different aspects of the business, an amazing script. Really, the backbone of this project is one of the best scripts I've ever read. And wonderful people in a wonderful city with a project that, as I've seen over the years, this project has any chance, as good of a chance as any film out there. It's a risky business. It's a lot of hard work, but... But this script, this project, these producers, all has the makings of the magic that we need to get the story out there and to get this made. And the back end, the business side is, well put together. There is money to be made making film, and there is commercial success, and I firmly believe that this film has the legs and the opportunity to do just that. So I sit at home at night awake thinking about what we're all going to do after we've made a hit movie and we're famous.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. Again, guys, thank you very much for joining us on the Turning Point podcast. Guys, we are talking with the folks behind an upcoming movie, which is People Who Don't. And I think the sequel is going to be People Who Do. Right, Joseph?
That's a great idea. Done.
That's great. Okay, folks, if you'd like to reach out to our guests, thank you so much for coming, Kelly, Mike, Joe, and Ed. We will have their contact information on our website, theturningpointpodcast.com. And you've been listening to the Turning Point Podcast. Our goal is to present to you interesting people from all walks of life that have a fascinating story to tell and offer you a platform to express what keeps you up at night. Now, folks, this is your podcast. And to make it better, we're asking you a very simple favor. If you are an interesting person with a fascinating story to tell, or if you know somebody in your universe who you like and is an interesting person, or even if you know someone who you don't like, but they're still an interesting person with a fascinating story to tell, please give us a call at 312-866-7174 or leave a message on the website so we can share that experience with people like you. Until then, have a great day and thanks for listening.